Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The 80s Glam Metalcast welcomes bassist from Foreigner, The End Machine, and formerly of Dokken, Jeff Pilson.
Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Well, thank you. I'm doing well.
Awesome. Well, The End Machine, Quantum Phase, man, just came out on March 8th. I've been checking that out for the past couple weeks. It's a great album. What do you think about
it? Thank you.
Do you like it?
Well, of course I do. I'm actually very excited about it. I mean, I think it's our best album yet, and I mean, George is playing incredible, and Gerish is singing and writing at a very, very high level, and to me, the album is a real complete package, and I'm very happy and passionate about it.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's definitely the best out of the ones that you've done so far, and to me, I don't know if this is just in my own head or this is actually something that happened, but I feel like there's a lot more like Dokken vibes and Lynch Mob vibes. Was that intentional? Did that just happen because you guys are the guys that did that stuff, or how did that play out?
But what it was is, when it did sort of sound Dokken-y, we didn't like police ourselves and tell ourselves, oh, we can't do that. We just let it happen. We knew that Gerish, who was brought up on that music, loves it. And we knew it would fit well with him, and indeed it worked because he came through writing in flying colors.
Now, with the writing, were you and George writing a lot? Because it seems like, in the past you have written a lot together.
Yeah. Well, we wrote the music, okay. And then we would send it to Gerish, and then he would send us MP3s or whatever, and, we did Zoom calls and emails and whatnot to, sometimes he had to do rewrites and revisions and things like that. So he was in India for the vocals, which is not my ideal situation, but it worked out well because he really took direction great. And he's got a great attitude and he's very motivated and it just worked fabulous.
Yeah, I can pick up on that. Like vocally, it really fits. Nothing against Robert Mason. I mean, he's great too, but this really fits well.
Robert Mason is great, and we have no problem with Robert Mason. Again, Frontiers wanted George and I to listen to Gerish, and we did. And when we heard his voice, we said, yes, this guy's amazing. And then we started writing together, and his writing was great, and it fit perfect. So it was a real good combination, and I'm glad we decided to do what we did.
What's great about this album, and it seemed in the 80s that all the heavy hitter songs were toward the beginning, and you had good songs toward the end, but that's when the album really hit you in the face. This album seems like it's real strong all the way throughout, man. I got toward the end, and I'm thinking of songs like Shattered Glass Heart. I mean, like, that's like my favorite song on the album, and it's really the last few tracks are like so strong, so pretty impressed by that, man, because like I said, when I think of some of the old 80s albums, it didn't always work that way.
Right. Well, thank you. That's kind of my feeling about it as well. And Shattered Glass Heart's one of my favorites too. So
nice.
Good.
Cool.
We're doing something right.
Well, Foreigner, man, we got to mention Foreigner here because you're out on tour with them. Is this the last tour, or what's going on with touring with Foreigner?
This is the last year where we're going to do 9 months of the year touring. So that's why we're calling it the farewell tour. We will probably do some dates in 2025, but they'll be far fewer, more select, maybe some casinos, some corporate gigs.
Sure.
But we're going to slow it way, way, way down. As far as live shows go. So like I say, that's why we're calling it the farewell tour. But we've got two Vegas residencies this year. There's a lot of really exciting stuff. We got the tour with Styx and John Waite. So lots of great stuff. We're going to do a tour with Loverboy in the fall. So lots of exciting stuff coming.
And Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Let's hope. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Keep voting. Tell everybody to vote every single day. Because all of a sudden we're hearing that, who is it? Oh, Dave Matthews is beating us out. So let's beat Dave Matthews.
Unacceptable. Even Paul McCartney was hyped up about this whole thing.
Exactly. When Sir Paul mentions it, you're on the right track.
All right, man, I got to ask you about this one. Okay, Kelly Hansen. All right. All us 80s guys know him from Hurricane. You're a man that does a lot of different projects. You think you could ever pull him in to do a project that's of the 80s vibe or no?
He has zero desire. Post-Foreigner, I think he'd like to maybe do something a little more R&B-ish perhaps. Okay. But that's a ways away. And while he's in Foreigner, no, he doesn't want to do outside projects.
I thought the album Can't Slow Down was pretty great. I would love to see one more Foreigner album because that's a great album.
And there are some songs kicking around that I would love to see finished. And because we'll have a little more time in 2025, maybe that can happen. That's kind of a goal, certainly of mine. But it's all about time. So we'll see what the timing looks like.
I had George on the podcast maybe in the fall. And, of course, I had to bring up Dokken. You know, hey, it's an 80s podcast.
Sure.
We got to have Dokken. So George was, I just asked him, I said, you know, what era do you gravitate to of the band? And he kind of said, you know, I feel like we were really on fire about Tooth and Nail, Under Lock and Key, and then we kind of ran out of steam, you know, by Back for the Attack. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? Because I feel like a lot of people that I talk to, they love Back for the Attack. But what are your thoughts on all that stuff?
Well, you know, I do agree with him to a certain degree because I think Back for the Attack could have been a stronger record had we been more together. But we were very separated by then. A lot of bad feelings going around. And it was like separate camps, and that's not healthy. I mean, there was always there was always arguments and things, but on Tooth and Nail and Under Lock and Key, we did feel more like a unit, I think. And that was broken up a bit in Back for the Attack. I mean, I think Back for the Attack did come out well, but I believe it actually could have been stronger had we been more together.
So you're kind of on the same page with him on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, fellas, a quick heads up from the grooming front line. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be a risky business anymore. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped and their Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, you can forget about nicking your bits. This trimmer is all about keeping your things smooth and safe, and you can trim with confidence. Fancy a stress-free shave and some savings? Head over to manscaped.com and snag a 20% off code with free shipping with the code METALBALLS. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises.
Well, I'll tell you what, after receiving that great promo pack that Manscaped shipped me, man, I'm known around the firehouse as the guy who really likes to trim himself up. And now, I got my balls to the wall because you know what? It is highly, highly improved my grooming experience.
Metal balls. Every dude gets the heebie-jeebies when it's time for a close shave down under, brother, but when you're using the wrong tools, that's when you got a problem. That's why Manscaped is the go-to for those delicate spots. Let me tell you, Ryan, I'm like hair of the dog, man. I got hair popping out in places that I don't want it, and I can't get it popping up on the top of my head where I do want it. And these tools have been great for me, man, especially like trimming the ears, trimming the nose. As you get older, that stuff gets a little out of control. And the weed whacker, man, that's gold for something like that.
You know, on this show, we're big fans of TNT, where everyone's a star. And I'll tell you what the true star is, Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade for you. Go smooth wherever your heart desires.
Metal balls! With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. Are you going under the blade? Are you worried about making a mess? Well, this bad boy's waterproof, man. You can shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the friggin' ocean.
I love this thing because it comes with a compact case. I take it with me wherever I go. Trust me, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy.
Or family jewels.
That's right.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code METALBALLS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping with the code METALBALLS at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. I thought Dysfunctional was great. I mean, you got to the 90s, you guys got back together. I guess one album that's a strange one, and I don't know if many people ask you about it, is Shadow Life. Shadow Life, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me hit you with a couple things. What was going on with the direction of Shadow Life? And talk a little bit about CMC Records, because I think that's a topic that doesn't get mentioned enough. It was a home for bands from the 80s. So thoughts on Shadow Life and CMC. What do you think?
Well, you know, Shadow Life, again, was a situation where we were very separate and very, you know, there was a lot of miscommunication within the band. I mean, we started off, when we started off writing the record, George and Mick and I were in Phoenix for several months. And we had some great music that we were coming up with. And there was some great stuff. And even some finished songs. And then the direction kind of changed. And, you know, I think Kelly Gray gets a lot of flack about the record. Some of it is unfair because he was stuck in a very not good position being in the middle of everything. But, you know, he was not a classic Dokken fan. He kind of was brought in to sort of help bring us into the 90s a bit, which in theory made sense. But then when you take out too much of the Dokken, and it wasn't all him doing it, by the way, but when you take out too much of the Dokken, then we're not Dokken anymore. So that's kind of what happened to Shadow Life. We deviated too far away from what we were. And it was somewhat of a painful album to make. There was some painful moments. So yeah, that's not our strongest by any means. It's too bad because again, when it started off, I had a lot of promise for the music. It was feeling really good. And some of the songs we had early on, I thought were real strong. But for various reasons, that's not where the record ended up. And again, I think that's what happens when a band is not a unit on its own and relying on somebody else to come in and try and pull it together. That rarely works. And it certainly didn't work in that case.
Now, so when you talked about bringing Dokken into the 90s, was there any kind of encouragement from like the record company to do that? Or was that you guys wanting to do that?
No. CMC liked the 80s sound. They wanted it to be more 80s. That's the problem when the head of the snake is cut off. You know, you dither around.
Yeah, because it was funny. I've been on this like CMC kick, and I probably want to do a podcast where I kind of go a deep dive on the CMC. But it was a weird era because you figure like if you're Dokken and you're on CMC or you're Wasp or whoever, and, you know, you should be making a traditional kind of album. That's what the fans are kind of looking for. But for some reason, there was a lot of grungier type albums that came out on that label.
I don't think that was CMC's fault. I think CMC wanted it to be. I think all the bands at that point felt that they had to do something like that to be current. Mm-hmm. And it sort of destroyed the brand in the process. And, you know, they threw out the baby with the bathwater. <You know? laughs> But that was not CMC's doing by any means.
Well, you got back on track for Erase the Slate. I think that's a great album. You got to play with Red Beach, who you went on to play with again, Black Swan. So good memories of that album, the Erase the Slate.
I have great memories of that record. Yeah, and that's where I forged a really great, strong writing collaboration partnership with Reb that we, like you say, you know, he's going to be coming out again in a few weeks. I love writing with Reb, and Don was still very on his game at that point and came up with some great stuff himself. So, yeah, it became a strong album because once again we had focus and direction, and part of that was Reb's added to it, absolutely.
Yeah, one album I've been kicking around a lot lately because I work from home and sometimes in the morning you just want a more of a chilled out album to listen to. One Night Live. I think that's a great, versions of the songs. And it's cool because, like, you sing, Mick sings. The only person I felt that kind of cheated was George because he played electric on a lot of the tracks. But no, it's cool.
But what he did musically was really cool.
Totally.
I understand that. But I loved that record. I loved making that record. Wynn Davis engineered that record, and that was – I love working with Wynn, so it was just a great thing all the way around.
Yeah, that's a great one. One album, I don't know if people ask you about it a lot, but it's an album that means a lot to me, is Dio, Strange Highways. You found yourself in Dio, and to me, like, it's kind of a timeless album. Like, you can go back and listen to it. It sounds perfect. It doesn't sound really dated. It doesn't sound like he's trying to be something that he's not. Talk about Strange Highways a little bit, man, because like I said, I think that's killer stuff.
Well, thank you. I mean, yeah, you know what's funny is over the years, people have come to appreciate that album much more, and it's aged very well, like you say. And that was a magical songwriting process for that record. That's why I was disappointed it didn't do better at the time. I mean, I guess a lot of people thought it was un-Dio-like, but now they think it is. So, you know, it was maybe we hit on something fresh is what I think happened. And again, it was magical. The writing was magical on that record. We would go in and play, and Ronnie would listen, and then he'd take a tape home, and then he'd come back the next day and say, okay, got this vocal idea, and let's try this. And then we would, I mean, it was just so on fire. Everybody was just, it was so connected. We were all so connected and focused. It was a great period. So I love that record. If you want something interesting to see, there's a, somewhere out there, there's a live show from the Hammersmith Odeon, I believe the end of 93. And I saw that not too long ago, and I was blown away. The band was on fire. It was really a strong, strong live band. And that video is really worth seeing.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I have seen that, obviously, being a big fan of all that stuff. What about Tracy G? Because I feel like Tracy G, he's been on the podcast. And he's a guy that kind of got a raw deal, or traditional Dio fans weren't really feeling what he was doing. But he's another one, man. You go back and you listen to that guitar work, it's heavy, it's weird, it's just, it fits, you know? I love it.
No, I think Tracy's brilliant. I always have. I felt it at the time. I did see where Dio fans didn't see it as being, you know, he wasn't the kind of shredder that a Craig Goldie was, or a Vivian Campbell. But man, he did something really unique and cool. And yeah, over time, I think people have come to appreciate it more. Because yeah, Tracy got a really bad rap that he didn't deserve. He really didn't. He was an integral part of the whole thing. I mean, his energy was really important to the making of that record. So I love Tracy G. I'm glad that people are becoming more accepting and understanding of what he did, because yeah, I think it threw people at the time, but man, it's aged really well, and it was very inspired. Tracy is a very inspired player.
Favorite song on there?
Probably Strange Highways, if I had a favorite, but God, there's a bunch of cool ones. Blood from a Stone.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great one. Or was that on
No, the that's right. Record? Yeah, Blood from a Stone, Bring Down the Rain, yep, One Foot in the Grave. Those
Bring Down the Rain, you know, I love that song. Yeah. There's some really cool stuff on there.
Some good hooks. So, man, you know, you're a great writer. You've written with all kinds of people. You've produced all kinds of people. What's next? Is there somebody out there that you want to work with that you haven't? What's coming up for you, man?
Well, what's coming up is Rev Beach is going to be coming here again soon. And we'll finish up writing the music for Black Swan. We're already collaborating with Robin on Rev was here several weeks ago, and we got seven songs deep into the next Black Swan record. And Robin's been writing lyrics, and we've been working back and forth on that. And it's going to be a great record. So like I say, Rev's coming out again. I don't anticipate that record coming out till 2025 sometime. Cause we're going to take our time and make sure it's done right. But I'm very excited about it, and I love working with Rev, so it's going to be great.
Does the well ever run dry? Because it seems like you just keep going and going and going. Where do the ideas all come from?
I don't know. I love music, and I think what happens is when you have good chemistry with people, when you get together, you know, two heads are better than one, and something happens. There's a mysterious element in there that happens, and that's the beauty of what we do. And so I don't question it.
I just accept it. Well, Jeff, man, I appreciate all the great music and taking time to talk with me today, man.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I'm glad we got to do this.
Thank you, Jeff, for coming on Rock On.